Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I think it's funny that Donald Trump is worried about Anthony Fauci's approval ratings, which are higher than his. And again, every bit of the response to this has just been the wrong direction. And look, we've got the wrong guy leading it. But if you paid attention to Billy Barr's testimony today, the fact that he did admit, look, Russia screwed around in our election in 2016, and they're probably doing it again. And you look at the fact that our intelligence agencies came out today and said that there are Russian operatives spreading disinformation about the virus. You know it's all right in front of us. And then you look at the crazy viral video yesterday from the Breitbart folks, and you got to wonder. That's why I've asked our good friend Dr. Kelly Senholz to come talk with us, share with us some information, and maybe straighten up some of the misinformation that's been out there that it's all cured and we don't need a crummy mask. Dr. Senholz, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I understand there's a cure. There was a woman yesterday ranting and raving in front of the Supreme Court that hydroxychloroquine!
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. Now, first of all, Twitter allowed this to happen. I know Facebook did and other social media sites, but I was informing them every 5 minutes, you need to take this video down, you need to take it down. They left it up for something like 16 hours, which allowed it to go viral. And of course, people that don't understand science or anything else thought it was fantastic. Less than an hour ago, the AP put out a really long story about the Russian intervention in the virus situation, which I just posted for everyone if you want to read it. This is clearly a Russian operation. Obviously, some of our Republican colleagues are helping them out. But during this time, when I was telling them to take the video down, I was getting attacked by probably thousands of Russian bots. They didn't want anybody saying anything negative about this video, which was utter BS. It was absolutely insane, just crazy talk. They fought it as long as they could until it finally got taken down. It's a harbinger of things to come. It's what's going to happen over and over in the next couple of months. And it's going to get worse and stronger and more vicious and more horrifying with each attack.
Yeah,
kind of like warfare.
No, I mean we're really at information warfare. This is where we are. And the question, because I had a bunch of people sending it to me, going, "See, Rick, look, it's over. We have a cure." And I'm going, "This doesn't seem This just doesn't seem valid to me." A couple people in white coats, standing around having a press conference put on by Breitbart. I want to know who's funding this. I want to know who this group is. America's frontline doctors. What the hell is that?
Well, here's an interesting thing. There are 66 million doses of hydroxychloroquine stockpiled in the United States. So basically, instead of stockpiling PPE or testing equipment or putting money towards school facilities so they could start back safely, all the other things we know we need to combat this virus, Trump stockpiled hydroxychloroquine, and I have no doubt that if somebody dug deep enough, you'll find out he's got some financial interest there. So we've got this massive pile of a drug that doesn't work, and he, just 4 hours ago, he said he thinks it works.
Yeah, I mean, he believes it works, and he's in the I believe crowd. And that's the scary thing. Anytime someone says, "I believe," I'm a little concerned. But here's the thing. What if, because I get this thrown back at me a lot. Well, what if I'm wrong? What if it does work? Because evidently the study that said that it was really dangerous, there was a doctor that, he's got some questionable things. So, I'm looking at this going, there's misinformation being thrown all over the place. What are people to believe? Which is why I bring people on like you that I trust to give us the straight skinny. How do you navigate these waters?
I want hydroxychloroquine to work. I want aspirin to work. There's nobody in the world that doesn't want a cure or a some drug that will make the disease less severe, something we can do to keep people from this horrible ending, and there just isn't one yet. The other thing that's arising is people are getting pretty concerned about the way the vaccine is being rushed through and possibly not completely tested properly. So that is going to be a problem. Additionally, we talked about this before. When they get done making the vaccine, you have to have a distribution system. You have to have, you know, vials and syringes and nurses and a plan. None of that has been done either. Everyone's talking about a vaccine being the October surprise, and I hate to be negative. I think it's going to be something more. It'll be something worse and something bigger. But certainly they're going to say they have a vaccine and everything's going to be okay and it's all going to be over with. Your prior guest was excellent going over the economic situation right now. That, along with the virus, if not tempered pretty quickly, is going to result in about 1 million deaths by spring, May, June of next year. We're going to have about 250,000 deaths by the time the election rolls around. And if this virus gets out of control, you know, Dr. Fauci warned us, if we did not get a grip on this virus, it could get so bad that it's just simply out of control.
Yeah.
There are parts of our country where that's kind of where we're headed. If that happens, along with excessive deaths, due to poverty, which we have studies that outline how many deaths that would be, we're talking about 1 million people. Now, that's one in every 320 people in the United States. This is the numbers. People get down in the dirt on the details and what's happening and what about this and that. But when you step back and look at where we're headed and what's happening, this is a catastrophe of unprecedented proportion. And we just keep seem to walking down the road. We're just, you know, we can't seem to get a grip on this or stop the Republicans from what they're doing, yeah. Stop them from harming people because they feel they benefit from it.
Yeah, I mean, a minute ago, I said that, you know, it's my belief that, you know, in April, had we done the right thing, we could have been past this. And I got an email from someone telling me that I'm full of, you know, a big steaming pile. And the president has done everything he can do and all of this stuff. Am I wrong? I mean, you know, because had we locked down, had we done the things that you know, we were being told at the time, and had we stayed the course without having these insane Republican governors and Donald Trump saying, no, we need to kick the doors open and get back to the bars and all of that, we could have been past this already.
The editor of Medscape, his name is Dr. Eric Topol. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know him. He's very famous. And he said quite some time ago that this is the worst public health disaster in history. And I agree completely with him. It's obviously the worst. It's not even close. This is the worst public health disaster. And what that means is that it was handled badly.
Yeah.
We know how to handle it. We know what to do.
Right. But what do you say?
Those of us who have been in the field are just in absolute pain watching this. It's just utterly, I see incompetence, but again, I feel that quite a bit of it is purposeful, and this Russian angle adds credence to my theory that they're doing it on purpose to create chaos and upset in our country, and they're willing to let people die to do it.
But what do you say? I get this a lot from Trump supporters that had Obama been president, the same thing would have happened. Had Hillary been president, it would have been the same thing.
No.
That would have happened. Do you buy that?
No, any other person being president, this wouldn't have happened. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. This is not even a close call. Back in, I think, February or early March, I remember saying that every hour they delay in shutting down the country and getting people wearing masks Every hour they delay is thousands of deaths. I had done some basic calculations, and in the end, a study done, I think it was in June, was almost spot on what I said, that almost all the deaths in South Korea who had their first case the same day we did, they've only had like 329 deaths in the entire country. If you extrapolate for population, that's about 1,100 deaths. So we've got 149,000 more deaths than we should have had.
So you're not putting any, giving any pass here, because, you know, it's my view that they boogered this up right from the start, and that I do believe, you know, as I said, you know, about 9/11, you had Al Gore president. I don't think 9/11 happens. You got Hillary Clinton. I don't think this happens.
I don't have the facilities of the United States government at my disposal. Right. I don't have, I'm just an emergency doctor with a history of working in disaster management. That's I have a history and a knowledge. In January, I knew this was bad. In January, I knew that we were going to need to close down, that a plan was going to have to be made, that we were going to have to, completely change our way of life. That was apparent to me in January. So, you know, the president and his staff and our FDA and our all of our health facilities should have known, did know. They had done a tabletop exercise on what to do if this happened when Trump took office. He had everything he needed to do this, and he chose not to do it.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, because schools are about to be reopening at some point, and there's a big push on a lot of areas to reopen as normal. And I saw this report coming out of Florida that's pointing out that the hospitalization rates are rising, and they're rising among, you know, children 17 and under at a pretty big clip. And that they're, you know, we're still not sure what this is doing to kids. And I know there's a bunch of studies out there that says, you know, if you keep young kids home, it's really bad for them. And there's all this other stuff that's going on. I'm curious your thoughts, you know, advice for, as a doctor, for parents, you know, looking at the school year.
I think it's really bad for old people to be home too and lonely. It's bad for all of us, but we're going to have to buck it up. I'm going to do a blog post. I was feeling a little like, oh my gosh, what can we do? And I started jotting down some things, and the list actually got pretty long. And one of the things on the list is we got to toughen up. We've been living a pretty cushy life for a very long time. Even the people who had poverty or had issues and have been on the bottom of the scale in our country, like, you compare them to anywhere else in the world, and they still have a really good life.
Yeah.
We are about to enter. We're on the downward slide of a roller coaster that once we get up speed, which is happening right now, there's no turning around. There's no brakes. We're just going to have to ride it out. And people are going to have to toughen up and help each other and tighten their community. And really form groups. I foresee them foregoing interstate travel. I foresee strict lockdowns in almost every state. I foresee conflict. I foresee dire economic disaster. And I foresee a lot of death. So all of that is going to be really challenging. And I say we're up to it. We can get through this to the other side, but we're going to help each other, and we're going to have to stand strong as Americans and just put this crazy stuff down as quickly as possible.
Yeah, no, in fact, I just had this conversation with my oldest daughter that, you know, my great-grandparents, you know, my grandparents lived through the Depression era. They were mm-hmm. tough souls. They lived through, all of these things, you know, the Spanish flu. They lived through the Great Depression. They were tough. They saved everything. They They were hardy souls. We're not that people.
We're not that people. Although I have to say, I've noticed a little bit of a shift in the last 6 months. I think a lot of people are kind of waking up that something big is happening. They're not quite there, but they're kind of getting a clue that we're about to go down a hellhole. But we can do this. We got to keep talking. What you're doing is so amazingly valuable to give people information and a place to talk and connect and understand what's going on. That's really one of the things that's going to be very important in the coming months. I heard something really scary about coming out of the Trump administration. It was a threat to people talking to each other on social media. And you know as well as I do, when Trump says something, he means it. I think that those guys snatching people off the street are just the beginning. And we're just going to have to watch out for each other. We're going to have to get through this. And we're, you know, my hope is we can do this quickly, that this isn't going to be 40 years like East Germany, that this is going to be a down in the climb back out. That's my biggest hope.
98 days. 98 days till Election Day, Kelly.
98 days, baby. 90, we can do this.
There you go. I appreciate the time and the thoughts. I know you'll come back as more comes out to keep us up to date and informed, and I always appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Good stuff. Our good friend, Dr. Kelly Senholz. And look, yeah, I'm like she said at the beginning, I wish hydroxychloroquine was the answer. I wish zinc was the answer. I wish we had the cure. From what I'm hearing, not yet. Love to hear your thoughts, though. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Do you buy the woman with the, we've got it already, no masks? Do you buy the viral video? rick@thericksmithshow.com. You can tell me one way or the other. And I do answer all emails personally. Thanks so much. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around.